Hello there, and welcome to the AFA podcast, the official podcast of animationforadults.com. This is an interview episode, and I was able to talk to Hugh Welchman, the co-director of Loving Vincent and the new film The Peasants. The Peasants is based on the Nobel Prize winning Polish novel of the same name, and it is coming to cinemas in the UK from 8th of December. And you can hear all about it in the interview, which is coming up right now. So, we'd like to start at the beginning, basically ask how you first got started in animation.
So I got started in animation because I was studying producing at the National Film and Television School. And I was given the option in my first year of, as well as producing a live action film, of producing an animation. And like many people growing up in Britain, my main experience of animation was kind of Danger Mouse and Disney. So I wasn't really that interested in it, but I thought, why not? You know, I'll give it a go. And my eyes were open to this incredible world of art animation, of like, you know, Svenkmajer and Eastern European animation and National Film Board of Canada animations. And I was just fascinated, really fascinated by it. So I sort of fell in love with it, like from the beginning. And so every year I produced an animation, but I thought it was like a bit of a fun hobby sideline to my real work as doing live action films. And it was only when I left film school that I was talking to a conductor who had a small orchestra in London, and he was like, oh, I really want to do something on the screen with live music. And the idea of Peter and Wolf came up, which I remember from my childhood, because my stepfather, who's really into classical music, was always trying to get me to listen to classical music and learn instruments, which I was completely uninterested in. But I was fascinated by, I did have this very vivid memory of Peter and Wolf. So then I started down the road of producing Peter and the Wolf, and the rest is history.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a couple of questions first about Loving Vincent. It's an amazing film. What came first, the idea of making a film about Vincent van Gogh or the animation style?
The animation style, because my wife, DK, you know, she studied painting. She went to art high school from the age of 14. And she was very much very passionate about painting. But then, you know, like towards the end of her time studying painting, she also became very fascinated with film. So she was sort of divided about whether she should be a filmmaker or a painter. So she'd been working on other people's films as animator, designer. She directed some live action films. And she decided that, you know, what she wanted to do was to combine her two passions, which was painting and film. And she'd been very emotionally connected to Vincent from the, like, her teenage years. And she'd done a dissertation on him as well in her early 20s. So that's really where the idea came from, you know, is that she wanted to do an oil painting film. It wasn't even oil painting necessarily. It was like she wanted to do a painting animation film, and then the idea of combining that with Vincent van Gogh came up, and so she had money to make that as a short film when I met her. And when I saw the technique and the results of the technique that she was doing, I was like, well, this is just incredible. I've never seen anything like it. We should make it as a feature film. And thus the adventure of doing Loving Vincent started.
How did it feel to be nominated for Oscars and BAFTAs and all sorts of things for your first animated feature?
Yeah, so, I mean, I won an Oscar for Peter and the Wolf, so I'd had a little bit of an experience from that. But, you know, that was for the short film. So it was a much more emotional experience for Loving Vincent, because I'd done it together with my wife. We did it. It was a big struggle to make that film over 7 years. And I mean, me and DK moved house 17 times
Oh,
during making
gosh.
the film. Moving from flat, we like run out of money, like moving with our relatives for a bit. Then we'd move somewhere else because we thought we might be able to, make some progress with the film in that city. So, we had an incredible adventure and journey with that film, and a lot of uncertainty about whether anyone would be interested in it. And so, I think still the standing ovation that we had at the premiere in Annecy is one of the best experiences of my life. We had like a 7 minute standing ovation there, and that was just wonderful. That you've done this for 7 years, and that here you have like an audience of animators, and they're appreciating your work. And in Annecy, that we had people, queuing. It was crazy. There were people queuing like all the way around into the shopping center from the cinema, but to try and see the film. So there were lots of beautiful experiences on that journey. I think that actually, more than being at the Oscars, like we I remember like one screening that we had in Holland, in Netherlands. And this woman just came up after us, and she tried to say something to us, and she couldn't. She just started crying, and then she just like flung her arms around me. So cried for a while, and then she was like, "I drove for 3 hours to come and see you. I've already seen the film 5 times, and I just wanted to come and see you." She didn't really speak English very well, and she just. Maybe she did, but she was just like very emotional, and so we won 20 audience awards for Holland, and I think that every single audience award just meant so much, because in a way, it more than the Oscars, it's like it felt like we had a real connection. And actually now, a couple of the super fans, if you like, are really good friends of mine. It's like, because quite close, like because they were like telling me about their journey they'd had with Van Gogh during their life. And in one case, it was someone who had found that like just Vincent's diaries and Vincent's paintings had really helped them with their mental health, and so I think those kind of personal journeys were the most meaningful memories I have of Loving Vincent. That just that connection with the audience was amazing, a really, really, amazing experience to feel people's energy. And like often I knew that it was as much because of Van Gogh and how people felt about Van Gogh as how they felt about our film, but it was still we were connecting together over it.
Wonderful. How did you come to choose the peasants for your next feature film?
Well, we wanted to do something. We didn't want to do Loving Vincent 2. We wanted to show that oil painting animation was could be used for anything, really. So we were looking at one point, we were developing a horror film. We were looking at various different projects, and DK had read this book as a school, because in Poland it's national reading. So but probably, if you remember from your school, there was probably a book you had to read, which was like no one ever read it. They just read the cliff notes and enough of it to get through the exam. And then she reread it in her 20s, and she was actually listening to it while she was animating on Loving Vincent. And she really connected with the beauty, and I think painterly beauty of the descriptions that Raymond has, and also these very intense, larger than life characters that are in the novel. But she was worried that it was too Polish, so she gave it to me without saying that she wanted us to think about doing it as a novel. And I read it, and I had exactly the same response. I was really excited, to be honest, because if you read like a Nobel Prize winning classic book from Britain, it's probably been made into a film, 8 or 9 times. And so to discover such a masterpiece that had only been made into a film twice, and one of those ones is lost to history because it was in the early 1920s, and the other one had only been known inside of Poland. I felt it was a great opportunity to bring this story to the world. And really, we felt with oil painting animation, it's the slowest form of filmmaking anyone's ever invented, and you have to have a watertight reason to do it as an oil painting animation rather than doing it as a live action film or, a CG animated film. Right? Much easier ways to make films. But we felt you could only do justice to the Raymond's book in oil painting because of the way that he wrote, of the era that it was. Because when we think about 19th century peasants, we're more likely to be thinking about Millet, Daubigny, French realists, or Pre-Raphaelites in terms of their visions of rural life in the 19th century than we are, of documentary movies or, descriptions in novels, because, people pretty much avoided writing about peasants. And that's another thing that attracted me was most people for most of history have been peasants, and they are the backbone of every society that exists everywhere. And yet, novelists are more interested in what's happening in the cities or the emerging working class and middle classes, and these people are kind of the forgotten people. So I thought it'd be fun to do a film about them.
So you always knew that it was going to be another oil painting movie that you made next.
Yes. So that was not obvious. It's not the case for us now after doing The Peasants, but we had developed a whole studio system of oil painting animation, and we were fascinated to see if people would be interested enough in it that we could make another film in that style. And Loving Vincent, as you know, was both a success at the box office, also a festival favorite. We had validation that people were interested in intrigued by this style. And also, which is relevant to the name of your blog or your podcast, was that we strongly felt that there's a market out there for adults to go to the cinema and see animation. If you can just have enough coming through to break the stranglehold of Disney and the studios, there's so much rich possibility. So you don't just have to have family films to get adults in to see animation. You can deal with, intense 19th century. You can deal with a massive 1,000-page, 19th century novel and bring it to life in a way that couldn't be done in other forms of animation and couldn't be done in live action. So when before Loving Vincent, I felt there was one breakout hit for adults every 5 years. And now I feel like there's at least one every year that's coming through, which is still it's still a drop in the ocean of the ocean of family animation content, but still it's still different. It's still growing. It's still growing. And I hope that Loving Vincent was helpful in that, and that The Peasants will be helpful in that too, in changing people's expectations of what animation can be.
Did you find it easier not being attached to just one artist style?
Oh, I think it was essential. After Loving Vincent, we're like, we don't have to join up paintings. The paintings have to reflect our script and our vision of the story. So we do reference 36 paintings, but we only do it because when there was an exact coincidence of what we wanted to film and to animate and a painting that existed. So the other thing was moving the camera. It's like for Loving Vincent, we we were still an earlier stage of developing oil painting animation, and we really struggled with camera movement. It was just taking us, you know, up to four times as long to do camera movement. And this time we're like, we get to move the camera like wherever we want, which I think is important for this story because it's very visceral. It's very much about the, you know, conflicts between family members, about passionate dances. It's about hand-to-hand battles with your neighbors. It's, you know, you've got kind of intense love scene. And with these intense, you know, emotions, you feel like you want to be right inside the action. So for us, it was very liberating to be able to move the camera, and very liberating to have the painting follow and enhance emotion, you know, to be only about bringing out the story and the emotion of the story.
How do you think that the animation style has evolved since Loving Vincent?
Well, we got better at painting motion blur because the camera moves all the time. So, I mean, they're very different projects. So Loving Vincent is bringing to life the paintings of Van Gogh. So it's about his portraits. It's about his impasto style. You know, whereas this, we wanted 19th century realism style of painting. So we had to evolve in ways that would allow us to do that. So that meant that we had to learn how to paint, to animate in a style which meant that people were mixing the paints all the time, whereas you had very defined colors and brushstrokes, and this time they were blending the paints all the time in the animation process. It definitely evolved in terms of the environmental impact, because we were working with water-based oil paints this time, so no turpentine, and we got through, you know, hundreds of gallons of turpentine on Loving Vincent, and it was a better environment for the painters and for the wider environment. And also, you know, we had to move from a system of every frame being oil painted to a system of the keyframes being oil painted, and then to constructing in between frames digitally using the oil paint. So Loving Vincent was animated at 12 frames per second in terms of oil painting, and Love It and the Peasants was animated at 6 frames per second.
How important is the use of the live action video in producing the animation?
Oh, it's essential. It's like, you know, if you don't have the models, it's like difficult to do the painting. So yeah, just like with 19th century painters, they would have people in costume, or they would have real people like posing for them for the individual frames, and it's the same process for us. It's like we had certain elements that we needed there, really, but more than that, the reason why it's essential is because it's the performance of the characters. So the performance of the characters is the performance of the actors. And we nuance that, you know, we bring that out in the way that we animate it, but, you know, we can't turn a bad acting performance into a good acting performance. We can, you know, we can make it more passionate. We can make it darker. We can make it, you know, maybe funnier. But it has to be, or we have to have a great performance already in the live action. So, and likewise with, for example, like here behind me, I've got the wedding dress for the dance. So, you know, the movement of the material of the crown of her hair, I mean, that's the basis for the painting animation. I mean, the painters have to simplify it. So on her dress, there was embroidery, gold embroidery all over her dress. And the painters, they don't animate that. They just have squiggly lines that represent that, you know. But it's still the you know, they have to find a way of representing that artistically in paint, what there was in reality.
Hey there, guys, and thank you again for tuning in to this episode of the AFA Podcast. If you want to stay up to date with the latest animation news, reviews, and animator interviews, check out the main website at animationforadults.com. Best way to keep an eye out for new and shiny stuff would be to follow us on our social media accounts at Twitter at AFA Blog, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, and Instagram. You're also welcome to go through our podcast catalog wherever you stream your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Acast. We are always looking for feedback, so feel free to leave us a review, rating, or even send us a voice message via our Anchor page. Or you can even drop us a line at podcasts@animationforadults.com. If you want to support the podcast and the website by proxy, then please zip over to our Patreon page and check out our rewards for becoming a patron. Or if you just want to do us a one-time donation, you can go check out our Ko-fi page and buy us a virtual cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. And as always, I gotta give a shout-out to our friends at Animation Nights New York, a very special monthly screening event for some of the coolest animated short films and VR experiences from around the world, curated by industry experts and amazing staff who are striving to connect new talent through both live and virtual events. For more information, check them out at www.animationnights.com. Until next time, see you, Space Cowboy.